No. Well, I have a question for you to get our brains going. My question is, what is the best thing that you have been given for free? What is the best thing you have been given for free? Guess it could include a present or something. Oh, Rowan, yes. A hand mixer and mixing bowl set. Brilliant, do you still have it? Oh, well, that's good, that's good. Have a quick, you know, chat between yourselves and anyone else can tell me in 1 minute, that's all you've got for this one. The best present you've been given for free, the best thing. Your life. Oh, you see, the best answer. Yes, you're absolutely right. Well, I want to read something here from the Bible, which has also been given for free from Jesus. And he's speaking to his disciples here, and he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus has given us our lives, many things, but this morning we're looking at peace, and he's given us peace, a peace that the world doesn't know, and a peace that is free from him. So let's stand together. We're going to read some words on the screen as we invite each other to worship. So let's stand together. I'll read the words. You read the words in bold as a response. We gather together in the name of the one who bids us come. We gather together to sing praises of the one who teaches peace. So let us worship together. We're going to start by singing, "Come, see this glorious light." In the beginning, God laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of his hands. They will perish, but God remains. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. They will be changed, and they will be discarded. But God remains the same, and his years will never end. We're going to sing "Great Big God" now. If someone wants to come up and help me with the actions. It's good today to welcome John and Sylvia here, who've been a few times now. I did notice when we were singing "Great Big God" that you could tell you were from London because you were doing a sort of shard type. When "Higher Than a Skyscraper," we all went like this, you did a sort of shard. So, you know. So, yes, we could do a number of different skyscrapers, different one each song. Maybe gherking. I don't know. We could think that through. Not important, but you know. So it's good to welcome you. Thank you for coming again, and we look forward to hear what you have to say. We're going to have a time of prayer together as we meet together, especially as we're thinking about peace this morning. I'm very aware that there are many things that are not so peaceful at the moment in the news and all the time in the world, and so we'll be taking a bit of time to pray for different situations this morning. But before we do that, we're going to bring ourselves before God as well and offer him our lives and the things that we've done that aren't the way that he would want, and ask him to fill us afresh with his Spirit. So let's just pause as I read from the book of 1 John. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. In a moment, we're going to have prayers of confession, but as we remain in attitude of prayer, let's sing this next song. We bow down and confess. I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 5, which we are doing our series on, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We've heard this passage a few times, and we normally put it up, but I thought this morning we wouldn't have it up on the screen. You might like to look at it in your Bibles or close your eyes and listen and ask God to speak to you in a new way from this passage. It's Galatians 5, starting at verse 13.
You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, fractions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Good morning, everybody. It's really lovely to be back up north. Well, for me, it's north anyway. And it's lovely to be here with you all again. I think I brought some warm weather once the cloud and mist lifts. We're following this series in the fruit of the Spirit. Can I have the first slide, please? Press it again. I'm just being clever. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, peace is a lovely thing, and it means different things to different people. Perhaps if you're going on holiday with your children, it'd be like having your young children say, "I hope we're not nearly there," or, "Oh no, not another ice cream," or, "I have hung out my swinging things to dry." Or if it's teenagers, it could be, "Can I help you load the car?" Or, "I have unpacked and put everything away neatly in the drawers." Or, "Can we visit some old ruins this afternoon?" Or perhaps adults, "This shower is easy to work out. I'm just going to lie down, but if any of you need anything, just shout and I'll get it." Or, "Well done for writing West Ham for the Cup in the Cathedral's visitors book." And for me, peace is going into a shop and there is no music playing. And I'm certainly with the person who said, when asked what he liked most about the bagpipes, he said, answered, "The sound of them disappearing over the hill." I hope there's no Scots here or people like bagpipes. Second slide, please. Oh, no. Next one. That's it. That's the one. It's waking up in the morning and knowing you don't have to get up. Isn't that a peaceful feeling? When I was working, there was a couple of times I woke up, got up my normal time for going to work, got downstairs, got a cup of tea, brought it up for Sylvia and myself, and suddenly realised it was Saturday. And I thought, why have I got up? But then you have that sense of peace. It's Saturday. I don't have to go to work. I don't have to fight the traffic. At the moment, we're having work done in the house. Workmen outside doing up. And we will have peace when they have finished, packed up and gone. And we're back on our own again. It's making sure you remember birthdays and anniversaries. Now, Sylvia and I don't go a great deal on these. I did remember it was our 44th wedding anniversary last month. So I thought I'd look up on the internet what the gift is for a 44th anniversary. I did, I looked it up, and it's groceries. So I bought Sylvia a pint of milk, which I thought was big of me. But next year I might forget the anniversary because the gift is sapphires, so... Oh, I shouldn't have said that, should I? can I have the next one, please? Peace. It's looking at the beauty of God's creation. That's hills in the Lake District where we went this year. It really is lovely and peaceful. It's no wonder the psalmist said, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Next one, please. For me, you may not believe it, I like hanging out washing. And hanging out washing early, you know, 6:30 or 7 on a summer's morning when it's warm and the birds are singing is really very peaceful. I find it really lovely. Next one, slightly more seriously. The end of war, when the shooting and shelling have stopped, when you do not have to worry whether or not that noise is a bomb. My father's been in hospital lately and he's now in the rehab unit. And he's not the easiest person to speak to. He's one of those who keeps himself to himself. But we've managed to get him to talk about various things. And one of the things he has talked about is the war, because he was 17 or 16 when it started. And he remembers the bombs coming over and the noise, the whistling, and especially when the V1s and V2s came over as well, wondering if it was going to be you where it stopped and came down and blew up. So the absence of that must have been real peace. And in the world, peace means, for most people, the absence of war. Next slide. That's our granddaughter. And if you're a parent, this is peace. And we love Ella to bits. But she has, if any of you know who've got young children, they have all the energy in the world. And we look after her a couple of days a week. She's at school now, so not quite as long as we used to. But peace for us is taking her back to her parents, going back home in the car for a sit-down and a cup of tea. What about biblical peace? Next one. I thought I'd put the Greek up. Erene. I think Greek's a lovely language. I can't speak it, but it's a lovely language. So that's different kinds of peace I've been talking about. But what is the peace that Paul was speaking of when writing to the Galatians, in that passage we read? Now, clearly, he considered it was part of the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm sure there's already been said that the fruit in this context is singular. There are not the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit. What comes in knowing Jesus and having him live in you by his Spirit. And this is compared to the acts of the flesh, which we read in verse 19 in that passage. And the acts of the flesh are what we do in our natural state, the things we are prone to because before we became Christians. It's our sinful nature, the things that are in us before we become born again. And that is what living by the Spirit is living after you've been born again of the Spirit. What will become through new birth. And these two natures, the flesh, as Paul calls it, and the new nature after we've been born again, are in opposition. There is some teaching that suggests there is no civil war within ourselves. All our wrong thoughts and deeds are subdued and defeated because the Spirit of Christ lives within us. I think we only have to look at ourselves and within us to see how wrong that is. You only have to bash your thumb with a hammer to realise that there are some things that haven't been quite as subdued as you would like them to be. Spurgeon said, "When I cross the Jordan, the work of sanctification will be finished, but not till that moment shall I even claim perfection in myself." But Paul does tell us to walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh won't be preeminent in you because you have the Holy Spirit living in you, leading you, and making you more holy, which is why it's the Holy Spirit. And walking by the Spirit includes exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not a question of picking which fruit. I'd quite like to be joyful today, or have love today, or be peace, or kind, or all the rest of them. It's exhibiting all the fruit, including peace. Can I have the next slide, please? So it, you can't really see all the words, but they're all there. It's being like that tree and having the fruit growing from it. And peace here, then. What was Paul talking about here? And peace can mean different things, even within the Bible. It can mean harmonious relations between people and nations. Peace that people in the world would think is peace. No war, no battles, no fighting, no killing, no getting at one another. Or it's just friendliness, sending someone on their way in peace. Go in peace. Or again, freedom from attack. That's peace. Or I think, as it means here, it's the harmonised relationship between God and us, accomplished by and through Jesus. It's what Jesus Christ has done for us, between us and God, made peace. And of course, it's this which Paul means in this passage. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That was in Acts. Then in Ephesians, he came. Sounds like I'm doing it in Morse code now. Which I don't know. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. That was in Ephesians. And in Romans, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We have peace with God. It is our relationship with God, which has been and is being changed by the Holy Spirit working in us, that's what brings us peace. Peace in the New Testament basically is a translation mostly of the term shalom in Hebrew. And that word has a meaning not just of peace, but it's a well-being, freedom from trouble, but also wanting our highest best and our highest good, which is why the Jewish greeting of shalom has so much meaning. How about finding peace? I wasn't finding peace a lot on the motorway today. Peace is certainly not leaving your house too late to get somewhere, but next time I know to leave earlier. But the only place where we can find true peace is when we are at one with God, which is what this fruit of the Spirit is. It is making us more like Jesus, making us more like God, helping us to do what Jesus would do in any given situation. But how do we find this peace? Well, it's the answer to any question at Sunday school, Jesus. Jesus is always the answer if you ask any question at Sunday school. And if it isn't the answer, they will still give you the answer, Jesus, because that's what they're expecting. But it is the answer. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Helen Keller said, I do not want the peace which passes understanding. I want the understanding which brings peace. The reality is that the peace which passes understanding comes from understanding the truth about God. And there are many things in this world which will keep us from peace. Kate was just praying about many of those. You just have to read the newspapers, look on the television news, and you don't see peace. And on a personal level, there are things that will keep us from peace. Losses of loved ones, problems in the family, problems at work, illness of one or illness of oneself or a family member or friend. These are all things that can keep us from peace, all the things that the enemy in this world wants to bring to us to stop having that peace within us. And there are voices in the world, as there were in Ezekiel's day, saying, leading people astray, saying, peace where there is no peace. They will say, you can find peace in money. You can find peace in a job, in a family, a nice house, a good car. But in the end, the peace that comes from these things do not last, because they cannot cope with the pressures we sometimes face. To be able to do that, we need to know where peace comes from. And it comes from God. And it comes from God in his three persons. Next one, please. Thank you. We read in Philippians, which I just read, the peace of God which transcends all understanding. So it's the peace of God. And then the peace comes from Jesus. And this is something that Kate read. When he was telling his disciples he was going away to prepare a place for them, he ended by saying, peace I leave with you, the peace I give you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I do not give peace as the world gives, as the world wants to give peace by material things. He gives peace in your heart. And Jesus was able to do this because not only is he a wonderful counsellor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, but he's also the Prince of Peace. Matthew Henry said on this verse, when Christ was about to leave the world, he made his will. His soul he committed to his Father. His body he bequeathed to Joseph of Arimathea. His clothes fell to the soldiers. His mother he left to the care of John. But what should he leave to his disciples, who had left all for him? Silver and gold he had none, but he left them that which is infinitely better, his peace. The peace of Jesus Christ is much better than silver and gold. And finally, the Holy Spirit. We finally read in the verse we're looking at today that peace is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit is something that grows as a result of being in something, like a branch or a tree. Jesus said, unless you abide in me, you cannot bear fruit. Remain, abide in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We will only have the peace that is the fruit of the Spirit if we remain in Jesus Christ. And we don't have to strive to bear that fruit. We just have to let the branch do what it is meant to do. Come on, next slide. Just a picture of that tree again. Let that tree, Holy Spirit, bring up that fruit in you, which he wants to do. NIV study notes said, the believer has no fruitfulness apart from union and fellowship with Christ. A branch out of contact with the vine is lifeless. You'll never know peace if you are not in contact with Jesus Christ. Peace is therefore something that is inside us. It's something which you can't point at. You can sort of point at love and joy and some of these other things. We can't point at peace because it's inside us. And it's not affected by what is going on outside. Have slides 11, and please. Someone mentioned the famous picture, which I'd never heard of, which is a storm. And if you've got very, very, very good eyesight, you might see there's a bird there. Have the next one, please. That gives you a better idea. There's a little bird in the midst of the storm, on a nest, being calm and peaceful. That's a good illustration of the peace which Jesus Christ can bring you by his Holy Spirit. In the midst of the storm, there is peace. And the next slide, I found this quote. Peace. It does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. In Colossians, Paul says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Have the next one. Thank you. In the end, the peace we have with God, the peace that the Holy Spirit brings us, the peace which is beyond understanding, is because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. By his blood, he was making peace between us and God. And that is the only true peace that we need to know, is the peace between us and God, because we know our sins, our failings, the things we've done wrong have been dealt with. So the fruit of the Spirit is peace, and that peace can be within you if you let the Holy Spirit work in you. And whatever you're going to go out to today, next week, you can have that peace within you when the storm is all around. Jesus Christ lives in you by His Spirit, and part of the fruit He bears in you is peace. So, my peace I live with you, what Jesus said, and it is with you always. Amen. I'm going to sing a final song, which Kate said you, some of you might not know, but as it was on the CD, we can sing along to it when I can find it. Oh, yes. It is Well With My Soul. You can see why I chose this hymn when you see the words. My prayer is that it is well with all your souls today, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep you in Jesus Christ. Amen.